This is Rabbi Reuven Mann. We're doing the Shnayim Mikra project for Parshas Beshalach, and this is the second Aliyah, which goes from chapter 14, verse 9, through verse 14. It's a small Parsha, and basically describes what happened, that the Jews had set a trap. It was the will of God that they should engage in certain maneuvers to convince Paro that they were lost and vulnerable. Paro had a change of heart. All of this was done, of course, that it was the will of Hashem to ensnare Paro so that ultimately, which is one of the main themes of this Parsha, the splitting of the Red Sea. That was the objective of all that's happening over here. Why that was important and why Hashem wanted to ensnare Paro and to cause him to pursue the Jews and actually plunge the entire Egyptian army into destruction, that's a question that we'll be taking up in a few minutes. But basically I want to go through the story, the narrative itself. And it describes to us that although the Jews initially had listened to Moshe and they displayed courage in following Moshe, indeed this is a very important theme of this Parsha and all the Parshios dealing with the trek of the Jews in the wilderness, the relationship to Moshe, to how they deal with situations, with difficulties and setbacks. So initially they listened, but then describes what happened when Paro drew close. And the Jews lifted their eyes, and when they saw Egypt chasing after them, then apparently they succumbed to tremendous fear. They gave in to panic, and they cried out to Hashem. Verse 11 describes the state of panic that they were in, and it seems that they were convinced that they were doomed, and they turned against Moshe Rabbeinu. This is not the last time that they'll be turning against Moshe Rabbeinu in dire circumstances. Are there not enough graves for us in Egypt so that you took us out to die in the wilderness? And that, what have you done to us to take us out of Egypt? So you see that in spite of everything that they had gone through in Egypt, all the suffering, when we read it, it's hard for us to put ourselves in their situation. We should be very careful when we look back. The fear, when a person is confronted with tremendous fear and the prospect of being wiped out, so he looks back, even if the situation was a terrible situation, still, at this point, they would have preferred to remain in Egypt. And then they say, we learn from this that they did tell Moshe, Chadal Mimenu. And now they're saying, looking back, isn't this what we said? To leave us alone, and it's better for us to serve Egypt than to die in the wilderness. And then Moshe reassures them, don't be afraid. Hisyatzvu. All you have to do, at least you have to have some strength, just stand up, stand fast, and witness the salvation of God that He will do for you this day. For as you see Egypt this day, you'll never see them again forever. Hashem yilachim lachem. God will fight for you. And you remain silent. There are many interesting ideas in this short parsha. What it is that induced the panic of the Jews and prevented them. They had no capability whatsoever, it would seem, of taking a stand and fighting against the Egyptians. The Ebenezer raises this point. I'll take that up later when I give a little bit of an analysis of the significance of the Shira, of the song. I'd like to take up the question then, what was the reason that God ensnared Paro? Had the Jews do all these things to trick Paro into chasing after them? And the entire purpose, as we see, was so that they would all be destroyed in the splitting of the Red Sea. And I think the answer is that the purpose of everything that happened was not so that the wicked should be destroyed. To the contrary, the objective of God's revelations through the plagues in Egypt and what happened subsequently, all of this was for the benefit of mankind. For the Jews, of course, that the Jews should know. This was to teach the Jews, and that the Jews should become the chosen people and to keep the Torah. But it wasn't just for the Jews. It was also for the sake of Egypt. That's a very, very important theme, that God relates to his creation with compassion. That is, the purpose of all of mankind is to recognize Hashem. That's, the Jews are the instrument to be the teachers of mankind, but God cares about all of mankind. And this theme, that everything that Hashem is doing is for the sake of the Egyptians as well, appears in the earlier parshios. For example, in chapter 7, in Parshas Vayera, where Hashem tells Moshe that Par will not listen, and I will stretch my hand against Egypt, and I'll remove Sivosai, my legions. The Jews are referred to as God's legions, my nation, the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, with great judgments. The next pasuk is very important. V'yodu Mitzrayim k'aneir Hashem. And Egypt will know that I am God when I stretch forth my hand against Egypt and I remove the Bnei Yisrael from amongst them. All of the miracles that were being done were to instruct Paro, to instruct his servants, and ultimately all of the Egyptians. They too were given the opportunity to see and to recognize Hashem. In point of fact, we do see, as the negotiations go along, at certain points, Paro and his servants also begin to recognize that it's futile. They recognize the sovereignty of Hashem. However, they didn't have the ability to overcome their stubbornness, to take that knowledge and to utilize it to overcome their ego and to truly submit. But you do see that there was an effect. It did have an effect on some Egyptians anyways, because prior to the plague of the hail, again too, we see that before all the plagues, they were given warnings. And when Paro beseeches Moshe because of the pain, Moshe immediately prays for God to remove it. Does not use it as leverage. Doesn't ever say, well, let the Jews go and then I'll stop the plague. Never does that. Because the objective is for them to learn a lesson from it. So the plague is removed. Now contemplate. Now think. Now elevate yourself to a higher level. Moshe warns them to send in to gather your slaves and your livestock from the field before the hail. And is a very telling pasuk on chapter 9, verse 20. Hayare Estavar Hashem, Mayav de Paro. Those who feared the word of God from the servants of Paro, Hanus es avodav v'yespikneu el abatim, brought in their animals and their servants from the field to the houses. And those who did not pay attention to the word of God, they left their servants and their cattle in the field. So you see that there were people who took it seriously. They became convinced. And the Dvar Hashem, the word of God, was real to them, and they did act in accordance, and they saved their slaves and their livestock. The same is true about the miracle of the splitting of the Red Sea. It wasn't done to bring destruction. To the contrary, it makes it very, very clear in the pasuk itself. That's in chapter 14, verse 4, in Bishalach, where Hashem says, I will harden the heart of Paro, and I'll chase after them. And these are the key words, V'ikavda b'paro u'v'chol chelo. And I'll be glorified through Paro and all of his army. And what's the objective of that? V'yodu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem. And Egypt will know that I am God. The Ebenezra points out, V'ikavda b'paro, I'll be glorified through Paro, Uz yira kvodi ba'olam. Then they will see my glory in the world, to drown Paro and his army. Now, who is going to know? Who is going to benefit from this? The Ebenezer makes a very, very interesting comment. Because it says Egypt will know. But who are we talking about? those who are going to be drowned, what are they going to know? It's interesting. So the Eben Ezer gives two pshatim. The plain pshat is, the plain explanation is, Hanisharim, the remainder. That is, not everybody, necessarily, some people might be saved, but the word will get back. One way or another, it's clear from this that the nation of Egypt found out about what happened. And this is going to have a profound effect upon them. But the second shot of the Eben Ezer is really very interesting, because he says also the ones who drowned, they too will know that I am Hashem. That's telling us a very important thing. That is to say that as they see what's happening in the final moments of their lives before they drown, at that point in time they'll have a recognition that this is from Hashem. Indeed, in the next parasha, the next Aliyah, we see an echo of this. It describes the situation as it's unfolding, that this is, if you go ahead to chapter 14, verse 25, that God confounds the chariots and the wheels come off, and it's very, very hard for them to even move their chariots. And then the pasuk says, "Vayom Mitzrayim," and Egypt said, "Anusim ibnei Yisrael, let me run away from the Bnei Yisrael, ki Hashem nilcham lahem b'Mitzrayim," because God is fighting. They recognize that this is all the result of divine intervention. So that's the second shot of the Eben Ezra. Of course, it includes the rest of Egypt. The nation of Egypt will hear and God will be glorified. But the very soldiers themselves, in the waning moments of their lives, will recognize the truth. What's the significance of this? You'll say, but isn't it? It's too late. Well, what difference does that make? In a few seconds, they're going to die. Apparently, that does have significance. And we do have this concept that the worst Russia has the ability to do tshuva. And the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva that there is no sin in the world, no matter how horrible it might be, that is immune to tshuva. If a person does genuine, the tshuva has to be genuine and heartfelt based upon a complete recognition of Hashem and the wickedness of one's own ways, and the person has a genuine charata, a genuine regret, and a new recognition of God. So even if he was a wicked person all of his days, the tshuva is accepted. Now, of course, you might say, well, what's the point? But he's going to die. Yeah, but in terms of the soul, he has a share in the world to come. And the Gemara records stories of various Rishayim who did great deeds in the last seconds of their lives. And a voice from heaven, so to speak, came forth and said that they have a share in the world to come. That's an important lesson, that one should never, ever give up hope for anyone, and that too is significant. It's not a matter of no significance, even if the person was wicked, but if he did do tshuva. Of course, once we say that, we have to realize that it shouldn't lead to any kind of a complacency. A person should not feel that he could take it easy. He could always do tshuva later on. That's a terrible, terrible attitude. The Rambam talks about that in Hilchos Tshuva, and that a person should never take such an attitude. He should do tshuva immediately. In fact, the Rambam says you don't know when you're going to die, and thus a person should always, with regard to this, a person should always view himself as though he's on the verge of dying, lest, so therefore he sees to it that his neshama, his soul, is in a state of righteousness, so that if, nobody knows, if heaven forbid a person were to die at that point in time, but he would have eternal life. It also should be mentioned that there's a concept of chelek in Olam Haba, portion, and that while it's true that if a person didn't do tshuva, but then on his deathbed, or he had a long illness and he changed his ways and he did genuine tshuva, true it is that he will have a share in the world to come, but what share will he have? It's not, the point is not that, well, if a person did do tshuva at the end of his life, okay, so at least he did tshuva. But it's not that there's no difference had he done tshuva earlier. There's a major, major difference. Of course, in terms of all the benefits of living one's life in accordance with the dictates of Torah and the will of Hashem, all the benefits and the level of perfection that the soul can attain. It's not just a matter of either you're in or either you're out. And the Rambam speaks about the level, the chelek, the portion. And that's contingent. Pirkei Avos talks about that. Contingent upon the perfection that one attains in this world. So that one should never, ever be complacent. However, the point is being made here, according to the Ibn Ezra, that there is significance in that. That the purpose of the ensnaring of the Egyptians, it's not to bring about destruction. Indeed, God was extremely patient with them and gave them every opportunity. Because it says, this Sforno quotes the Pasuk, he does not desire the death of the Russia, but rather that he should correct his ways and live. God's desire for mankind is only that mankind should live. But that's life. The life of the Russia is not a life. A true human existence is where a person is living in accordance with wisdom, with the dictates, the recognition that he's a created being who must conform to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of his Creator. And every opportunity was given. And ultimately, it reached a point where the sanctification of God, which is the purpose of all of these events, can only come about through the splitting of the Red Sea. And even that was not for the sake of destruction, but it was for the sake of construction, that those who remain behind, otherwise they'd have no opportunity and their lives would not be life, would have an opportunity to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the purpose of all this was for the sake of the sanctification of God's name.